Faith be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the text before which I want to address you, written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 45, we read, beginning of verse 18, a few words, for thus saith the Lord. And now we go down to 21. Have not I the Lord told these things? Then there is no God to us beside me. There is just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Listen to me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other. I have known by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. But unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, and even all their intentions shall be avenged. So by the reading of the text, dear fellow, we're doing this before I forget. I want to begin my sermon. Let me just read also the words of Isaiah 43 that we read. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant and my servant, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I read this with one fortifies the other. In October 24th, I was in Waseca, Minnesota, visiting with my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law, and I at the pastor. Look at us standing at the door. All of a sudden, the street was just filled with people. They were going two by two to the home, and some four by four. Four people came to me. And I was standing at the door. I said, well, what is it you wish? They said, we are Jehovah's Witnesses. And then, of course, as soon as he said, well, I said, no, you're not. And then, of course, I use the word Jehovah with them because that's the word they use to explain the special name of God, and you make them more for Yahweh. Anyway, I said, if you were Jehovah's Witnesses, you'd believe what Jehovah says. You don't? You ought to read Isaiah. He says, I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. And we don't believe that Jesus is the Savior. We believe that Jesus is the Savior. Oh no, you know. Because if he isn't Jehovah, he couldn't say that. Because Jehovah says, beside me there is no Savior. And you say he was a little God, formed by God in later creation. But Jehovah says, before me there was no God formed. Now after me, I am God. And beside me there is no Savior. So you don't have a Savior. And if you don't, we believe, I said. And I'm going to use that term that Jehovah is the Father, and Jehovah is the Son, and Jehovah is the Holy Spirit, and those three are one Jehovah. And if you don't believe that, you cannot be saved, because Jehovah the Son says, he that denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. And I'd like you to come in the house, I'd rather tell you that from the Old Testament, and they walked away. And I said, you won't be saved that way. So one of the students said, now I want to tell you a little bit what I would have liked to tell them if I got them into the home. I would have, of course, read these texts. I would have read these texts to them. Then I would have said, remember, here is this God is speaking to us. And I would have shown them these texts. I had them there at the home, wasn't it? And I said, here is, I would have shown them this. Yes, her. So he became to me. He said, those people didn't pronounce it, so we would just say, Yehovah. Some say, Yahweh. This Jehovah Elohim. He is the God who speaks in Scripture, Yahweh Elohim. And by Yahweh, Moses writes, so the Holy Spirit speaks to him as he says, God created the heaven and earth. Amen. And that Yahweh spoke to the people of that time and promised the Messiah out of the associated descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and repeated it in him. In him shall all the nations of the descendants, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now we come down to the time, it's time to God, to the time of Moses, who wrote it. And then Jeremiah, about 750 A.D., and here's our text. And you know that text of Jeremiah is exactly what those who found it this seminary, our forefathers of a previous age, taught when they said, praise alone, scripture alone. As some would like to say, Jesus alone, praise alone, scripture alone. Doesn't make any difference, because when you say praise alone, you mean that unloving kindness of God, which he bears us undeserved human beings on account of Jesus Christ and him alone. So it is to say the same thing. They talk about this picture. Besides, Yahweh, there is no Savior. And therefore we must believe in Christ alone, because he is that. Yahweh. And now, we again say, beside him being a savior, what else can you do with such a savior? Because before him, because in him, you can only accept what he says. Embrace the Son, says the Son, especially the elders. To accept him. For blessed are they that put their trust in him, and only in him, because beside him there is no savior. Our fathers taught that emphatically. And then they taught that you get this out of scripture alone. Not from man's reason or philosophy or the wisdom of the ages. His ways, as we said, are not our ways. His ways are higher than ours. And so we go to his ways and his word and test it above all things as God's word, trustworthy, infallible, God, believable, in all his establishment. This is therefore the character. Then I say, and he said, I want to let them know that too. The first, as you can get them to hear it. Now, let's go on and follow that through a little bit. The Jehovah, he spoke to Jeremiah, the Yahweh, he spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke about 80 years later, Isaiah spoke about 80 years later to Jeremiah. Now, listen to the words of Jeremiah. He speaks of the Messiah, the Messiah to come. And this Messiah is to come out of the house of David. That was common understanding. But he says, behold, the days come forth, and then he said, Yahweh. But I will raise unto David a righteous branch. You see, once you determine that only Yahweh saved, you've got to be able to demonstrate clearly that Jesus is Yahweh. But that's the Messiah. He is that Messiah. Because here we have it. The branch, there shall be a righteous branch from the house of David. And the king shall reign and prosper. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Now listen, this is the name whereby he shall be called. Yahweh. Get a corner. Our righteousness. Yahweh, our righteousness. That's his name. Now, the Messiah is to be Yahweh himself. Not a soul. As Christ said, it comes to the day of the beginning of the Christian era. And here we have priest Zacharias in the holy of the temple, offering incense before I gave order to separate the Holy of Holies from the Holy. And before that huge curtain in which embroidered angels. He said, the real angel, the angel of this God, Yahweh. The angel of Jehovah calls himself Gabriel, and he says, we're going to have a son. And we're going to call his name Yohanan. And when he doubted, he says, we're going to be unable to speak. There's a doubt. And now this same priest goes out, talks about the benediction of Christ. He says, now in Mount Jesse, another man's people, and they're all now going to speak. The priest said, priest, they speak. Then comes the time that he sent a son Israel. Now, right, they are going to name him. What are they going to name him? They're going to. His son said, Zechariah, after the father. The mother said, no, Jehanan. Oh, yeah, yeah. But there's nobody in the relationship by that name. Well, thank you, Father. What about it? You remember he wrote on the scroll, his name is Yahman. Son. And it's Jehovah Jesus. And the moment he wrote it, his tongue was loosed, his mouth was opened, and he could speak. He said those blessed words, blessed be the Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. You spoke of that little baby 8 days old. And your child, in alluding to Isaiah 40, you shall go forth as the prophet of the house to prepare the way for the coming of. And he uses Kiryas, which is a Hebrew word they used for this word in that time. He says, however, he's a Hebrew, and he would have said, 3 years goes before the face of Yahweh. Yahweh. That's part of it. At the same time, that's just before, that's more than 2 months before, that same angel of Yahweh came and appeared to Mary and Joseph and told him, you're going to have a child. You're going to call him James? No, this is, he didn't say James. He didn't say James. He didn't say Jesus. He said, Yahushua. And Yah comes from the first part of that word. Yes, Yahweh. Yahushua, Yahweh, the deliverer. Yahweh, the savior. You call him that. The angel says, Joseph, he added, and all he shall save his people from their sins. And only Yahweh can do that. But he is Yahweh, who can do it. All right, there we have the birth of Christ. Birth of John the Martyr, John the Baptist. 30 years ago, and then he was in the wilderness preaching. The Jesus tells us he did hundreds of thousands. Well, he preached to hundreds of remission of sins. But when I ask him, who are you? He said, are you the Christ, the Messiah? Are you that prophet? No. Who are you? I'm the voice. Generally, he says, in a 40 of one time in the wilderness, he tells you the way for Yahweh, Yahweh. Then he told it to Jesus as he said, behold the Lamb of God. All of that included of Isaiah and the sacrifices and all that the scriptures were in Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God that is in the act of taking away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said he shall be as before he was waited. Come after me, but was before me. Who's he, sir? They confess Jesus was that Messiah, and he was Yahweh, him in the flesh, and he was Yahweh to the Holy, all righteousness. Now, time moves on. Do you know the Advent pastors who say Jesus never said he was really God? He called himself son of God. He called himself, and you're all the children of God. You've heard arguments, but there was one of the scriptures that he never even said, I am God. I want to tell you who did. Let's go back to the days of Moses. You remember when Moses, if you deliver the children of Israel out of the river out of Egypt, and he was in the wilderness of Sinai, he saw the burning bush. And out of the burning bush came the voice of the wind, who's God? Yahweh. And he said, as he spoke, he had to go and deliver my people. And as he heard that word, Moses came and said, well, they've been gone for 40 years, some and more. And he said, what name is your name? What name shall I tell him sent me? Then he said, tell him, then he said, and of course he didn't speak English, he spoke the language of the people, and tell him, Aiyah, Asher, Aiyah. Thank you. And then he added once more, tell him, oh, yes, thank you. And of course, you know, I means I am. But we also know that this word comes from the word Yahweh, and means to be here. And what it would signify, this means the one who is. The eternal one. And Allah would be his first person singular. I am. Tell him I am sent you. He was saying, he could have said, tell him, yes, Yahweh sent you. But he said, your first person singular, tell him I am sent you. Now we come to Jesus. And when we're speaking to the Jews in John 8, you believe in me, you can learn the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then, when you And the priest shall make you clear, he said. And then when the Jews said to him, well, I suppose you didn't believe in him. Well, we have never been in bondage. They were the grandchildren of those who had been in bondage in Egypt, and we never were. We're the children of Abraham. But Jesus said, if you're the slaves of sin, and when you're the slaves of sin, you're not free, but if the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. Remember, I didn't even know Abraham's children, and of course, you know, the continued tolerance until Jesus finally said, why do you want to kill me? Abraham will rejoice in my day. Why, Abraham said, my father, whom do you make yourself? And then he said, before Abraham was, they said, and you're not even 50 years old. You've seen Abraham? The whole world before Abraham was, he said, this word. He said, I am. He didn't say who he is, he spoke the law of religion, and he said, oh yeah. The very name that they had learned, God had spoken out of the very mist. Before Abraham was, I am. And then they wanted to stand him. And because he disappeared, they tried 10 days later, and they said, for what good work do you want to stand me? Then the good work I did among you, not for a good work, but because you being a man, make yourself God. So if anybody says Jesus never, because he called himself Lord, Jehovah, or Yahweh, Yahweh. He said it when he used the first person singular of that word, I am. Now, he is therefore, he is Jehovah, then he is Yahweh, the Eternal, Jehovah, our righteousness. Now we have to say, that's what Christ preached, too. Let's listen to him once as he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Better son and preach law and gospel, that's right. I never professors arguing about that sometimes. For law, Sermon on the Mount is all gospel. I say it's all law and all gospel. Because if ever Christ preached the law, look how he preached it. And he said, the law must be fulfilled. Every drop and pity of it. The smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the yes. The smallest hook in one of these letters, the figure, must be fulfilled. When he explained what he meant, how it must be fulfilled. That means, as he defined the law, you have heard it was said, thou shalt not kill. But I say, and whosoever kills shall be dealt with the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in the danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, Rachel, Gender, Fish, he is in danger of the council. And whosoever says, thou fool, and cuts him down to mountain living, is in danger of hellfire. Oh, but he doesn't do this chapter of Jesus. Well, doesn't it happen in the family? Husband and wife, children and parents, during the church and pastor, teacher and the student. And all this is happening in the world, only without justice. And who is able to keep them cutting people down by name calling? Who is the duty? To hear it even when the men told you when they need to cut one another down. To hear the men's students and heard all the time. And who is the duty of making people feel so utterly worthless in their lives? Ah, that's the law. That must be fulfilled. It has been said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, whosoever looketh at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. And has your husband refrained from that perfectly? Many says, let the yea be yea. No oath necessary. Just be honest. But if I yea, always yea, even to our children, I will always truthful when you say no. Is it always so? And then listen to him again. You've heard it was said before, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them who curse you, give unto them who hate you, praise them who despitefully use you. When you have the word, be as perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, for he lets his name shine on the just and the unjust. And who can be perfect inside except God himself? Oh, what a sermon of law he preached. And he said of him, it must be fulfilled. There is no good, but yet he had told them, if you haven't got a better righteousness than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And they could have it, and said they couldn't have it by themselves. But then he said something that should warm our hearts when he says, I came to fulfill the law. And when he was baptized, I came to fulfill all righteousness. He was righteous for us. He could do it. And therefore he could have a righteousness better than that of pastors and teachers and the scribes. Yes, he could have it as Christ. Therefore our fathers used to put it this way, in that simple prayer he Jesus, thy blood, and it was heard of paying the penalty for sin. Your sacrifice, your blood and righteousness, the fulfilling of the law. My beauty are, my glorious death, victory lies in these. Away with joy shall I lift up my head, or as it is said, with ease before my God I stand, when I shall reach the heavenly land. That's what Walter loved that him. My Father, take it and cut it. And that's the Christ you preach. All righteousness. And you know, he needs to be taken, cast into conscience. And at home, for children, to the people of the world, for he is righteous for all mankind. For in him, all the nations of the earth will bless. And unless they get him, they will miss the blessing. And there'll be among those who denied the Lord to bless them. Now, dear friends, you know, no matter how long you are a pastor, how well you serve the Lord, there comes a time in your life when you're preaching that justice is true. Jesus is Yahweh, to the total of all righteousness. My father served the ministry 45 years. And when he was about 72, he had a stroke, and he finally had to retire from the ministry. But he was still able to speak, and now he was coming near his day when he was dead. He was lying upon his bed for a year. I came to him, and I was telling him, there was a tie with this sad, he had a deep horn in his eyelid. And I said, you look so distressed, what's the matter? He said, oh, there's so many things I could have done. Paul, you know, you are a wonderful father. You are all six of us children, three boys and three girls, and all of us believe in the Christ. You taught us in the church. You can just tell them all you wanted would have us. Minister, and I heard your conferences. You were secretary of the Board of Education of the Northern Illinois District. You always emphasized the need of preaching human faith, law, and justice. Need of righteousness, because our righteousness is before the Lord. But Christ's righteousness to cover us. You preach that. And I heard you. I saw this convenient to a man who had been very evil and yet was forgiven. And this was beautiful. But it did sound sweet, and I was trying to comfort him with it, and he said, what? And I said, there was only one perfect minister that ever lived on the face of this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. And he takes his perfect ministry and puts it right over yours and counts you as perfect as his. So we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on faith, and you're covered with faith. And the time was gone. And then the spirit came down his side. You looked at his hand and touched my knee and said, thank you, Ted. For anything that counts, for anything that counts, thank God for that message. Now, God, you have it too. So that's what our fathers taught us. That's what our founding fathers made precious to us. For the day is the day of his holy supper. You receive the bread and wine, you receive Christ's body and blood. And by that body and blood, he who is God himself and tells us to trust his word above all things, he gives us his body and blood. And with it, all he did in that blood, the sacrifice, leaving the curse of the law in our stead, so that it's removed from all of us. Leading the requirements of the law by his righteousness, giving the Christ. And may the giving of his law, body and blood to us, yield us the fact he is mine. He is Yahweh, the eternal, my God, my righteousness. In him I can live. And even he drags my soul, giving a drink of cold water. Even he drags my efforts while some mixed with evil. And yet he forgives and to be ill. What a Christ. May we go out eager to serve him, eager to preach him, eager to win them to confess him, and to teach him in our classes, to love him in our lives, all the days of God granted in Jesus' name. Amen.